Well, praise God. I'm always grateful when I get an opportunity to talk about His Word, His love, and His grace. And so tonight, I actually want to talk about a topic that's always near and dear to my heart, but it's a thing that's referred to as cause and effect. And we all know what this is, even if we don't know how to define it. Basically, cause and effect is when you do something, there's going to be a reaction to it. So in other words, if you suddenly wake up in a bad mood one morning and you go out and you start chomping at the bit at everybody and just putting them down and arguing and whatnot, what are you going to get back? You're going to get back a defensive posture and people are going to fight back. That's just common. It's natural. It's a natural human emotion. And so the other way is if you're nice to people, if you're very courteous and helpful, the effect that you might have on people will be that in return. That's why Jesus always would point out to us to love people even if they despitefully use us. I know, we don't like that. It's a hard commandment to put in practice, but it's necessary. It's something that Jesus basically said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So this is how we know whether or not any of us, if we love Jesus Christ, is we keep His commandments. Well, how are we going to get knowledge of those commandments? Well, we have to read that Bible, read His Word, and we got to let it fill our minds and our hearts so that if we incorporate His Word and begin to put it in practice, it will have a specific effect. Now, in the world of programming, computer programming, we would call it logic. If you were to use, say, a condition and say, if this condition, then this, okay? That means if this happens, then that happens. In the world of physics, there's a law called for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So the thing about that is you'll know how that works if you were to be on a platform and you had a boat out on the water and you went to step off the boat onto the platform, what's going to happen? The boat's going to push away, won't it? You got to be very careful. That's why it's got to be tied down, because your action of pushing away is going to have the opposite reaction of the boat moving. And so that's just a law of physics. Well, you can also extend that law, and this is an actual thing, is you can extend it to biblical areas, to spiritual areas. Now, what do I mean by that? Everybody probably knows the scripture that if you sow sparingly, you know it. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. That's not a law that was just invented when Jesus was there. That's just something that's been in, you know, practice for all time. And so the opposite occurs. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. So Jesus taught us that, and the apostles taught that. But that was an Old Testament thing. I know we probably don't realize it, but it really goes way back. And so I want to read a little bit out of Proverbs, and I want to show you that in the scripture, at least this section of Proverbs, is if this happens, or if you do this, then you could expect this. Now watch it unfold as we go through it. So Proverbs, a lot of the Proverbs were written by King Solomon, not all, but most, and he had all this wisdom, and he, for our sakes, thank God, He put all of this, a lot of it, in writing so that we have it and we can carry it forward. So this is thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. So look at this. Very, very beginning, he starts out, he says, my son. So this is something that we want to pass down to the next generation. Okay, this is something we want to learn, put it into practice, pass it along. He says, my son, forget not my law, But let thine heart keep my commandments. This follows that scripture I told you just a minute ago. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Lord is speaking through Solomon. This is not Solomon's commandments per se, it's the Lord. It's the law of God. Now, initially there were the Ten Commandments. That was the law of God, keeping the Ten Commandments. And then later on in Leviticus, which is the book of the law, you have all this other things that you need to know about. But the fact is, he's talking specifically here. He says, my son, forget not my law. This is something we have to do, because if we do this, because he said, but let thine heart keep my commandments. If you do this, then this. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. If you think about it, when you live a godly and righteous life, the odds of you getting into a skirmish, you know, skirmish of some sort, or some kind of battle, you know, between neighbors and other things, if you live a righteous and godly life, you're probably going to reap a more peaceful, maybe not always, but you're going to reap a more peaceful and not and a long life. You won't have people trying to kill you. So that's what he's saying here. So he's like, if you remember my commandments, the commandments of God, and you incorporate them into your thinking, into your acting, the way you live, you can expect this. For length of days and long life. I don't know about you, but I want to live a really long time. I want to live a long time, but I want to live under the will and direction of God Almighty Himself. And it says, if you do this, then this. And that's kind of the theme of this section of Proverbs. Because he continues, he says this. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And that one portion right there, my goodness, it would change the whole dynamics of the United States if we could just follow that one thing. Mercy. Look how crime's gotten out of control. There's no mercy anymore. People are just, I don't know. I know they're influenced by the devil, but I just wonder how many people are actually under the control of the devil. And they're out here, they're just killing people. Some kill people just to see what it feels like. Can you believe thinking like that? That's got to be demonic. I don't know what else it could be. But and you know what's making it even more difficult? It's younger people. It's people we refer to as juveniles. 14-year-old, 13-year-old. One 13-year-old killed his little sister because he wanted to see what it was like. I read too much news. I know that. The thing is, when I read things like that, my heart breaks, because we have a generation of people like that. And he can't be tried as an adult because he's a juvenile. Now, I know when you get closer to 18, sometimes if you're 17, they can actually try you as an adult. But the fact is, that's the kind of thinking that we want to get rid of. So he's talking about here, let mercy and truth not forsake you. You don't want to lose that. In other words, I have a saying that I incorporated it for my own. I didn't come up with it. I think it was actually by, well, does anybody know who, everybody knows who Dr. Seuss is, right? He had a way of saying the same thing. He said, I said what I meant, and I meant what I said. And General Patton, he actually kind of changed it a little bit. He said, say what you mean, and mean what you say. In other words, don't let what you say be different than how you live. You ever notice how, especially on social media like Facebook, you see a different side of people. You see them, a lot of times their life on Facebook is so nice and perfect and everything else, but in the real world, they're nothing like that. And unfortunately, they think they can get away with it. They think they can hide. But they're not saying what they mean, and they're not meaning what they say. So here is where he says, you know, if you have the truth on your side, say the truth. Speak the truth. Don't speak in lies and riddles. And then don't forget mercy. That's something we really lack in this country. And it's easy not to have mercy. It's actually difficult sometimes to have mercy, especially when somebody's really got their mind to hurt you. But he goes on. He says, you know, he's talking about mercy and truth. He's saying, bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of your heart. In other words, make it permanent. Don't let it be just something you talk about. You know, a lot of people like to quote scripture, especially they'll post scripture on social media and whatnot, and you know in your heart they're not following it. They're not following it. And it's one of those things where, you know, how can you do that? Take these commandments that you're quoting and apply it to your life and to your conscience and all this other stuff, and that is how you need to live. So here we go. Here's this second. If you do this, and if you write them upon the table of your heart, in other words, make it permanent, what's going to happen? Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You see, it's one thing to have man's approval. It's another thing altogether to have God's approval. And you know what? That's what we need to seek after the hardest. I want to be approved by God whether man approves of me or not. But I can tell you, for the most part, not everybody, but for the most part, if you follow a righteous and godly life, you will have the approval of God and man. And that's what we need to strive for. And so this is one of the reasons this has always been one of my favorite passages. But here you go. And I like Eddie's this morning when he's talking about in Psalms, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Yes, that's great. And we could add to it. Oh, that men would trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. I hear this scripture quoted a lot. This is a very, very popular scripture. What's it telling us? It's saying, you know what? We have a wisdom of our own, but it's faulty. That wisdom that I have, I know people like to go up and ask other people their advice. Well, if they're not careful, they may not get godly advice from the scripture. They may get worldly advice from me or from you. And unless you've incorporated scripture and God's commandments, then you may just give worldly advice, which is very faulty. So here it's saying to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And guess what? This past Friday, we learned as a company that our entire company, Ultramotion, has gotten sold. Now, I have to put this into practice. This is going to be a challenge for me. Because one of the first things that happens is when you belong and you work for a company and you're just going along daily and doing your thing and you're doing your job and every day, you know, you just keep continually do it. And then all of a sudden you wake up one morning and there's a big old announcement in our email box and it says, Ultramotion has been sold. Well, actually, the transaction hasn't occurred yet. There's got to be a lot of things that occur, but we're having a bigger fish getting ready to swallow up our fish. That's what happened. It's a bigger company buying up our company. Well, the first thing that normally happens is the top management are the first ones to go. They lose their jobs almost immediately. Why? Because this company who owns us now, or will, is in the process of buying us, that's the first thing they do, is they take out the old management and put theirs in. It's a very unsettling time. And as they do that, and supposedly the transaction is supposed to be finished by mid-year next year, But the thing is, what's on everybody's minds is, who are they going to keep? Has anybody been keeping track with this purchase of Twitter by Elon Musk? I listen and watch too much news, but Elon Musk is maybe the richest man in the world. And he just recently bought a social media company called Twitter. Well, there's been a lot of drama over that. Surely there's been a whole lot of drama. But the thing is, people are having meltdowns. They really are. They're having meltdowns because they don't like Elon Musk, for one. And he's trying to change this social media, Twitter, into a free speech. And the ones who don't want free speech for you and me are the ones on the left, okay? They don't want you to have free speech, but they want to be able to say anything and everything they want. Well, anyway, there's all kinds of drama on that. But the fact is, that's one company that just recently got bought, and the very first thing he did was to fire at least the top four management people. Top four. Even the woman who was the most instrumental in getting Trump kicked off Twitter. Oh, she bragged about it. She loved that idea that she got Trump kicked off Twitter. Now she's out looking for a job. There's that if then. Remember I told you, if you behave this way, then this is going to happen. She was so proud of herself, and now she's out looking for a job. So here we go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And this is something I'm going to be challenged with in the next months. And I've got to not think about my own understanding here, but I've got to lean to the Lord. I've got to put myself in His hands and allow Him to do what He wills for my life. Now, whether that means I keep my job, I don't know. I don't know what God's plan is regarding that. But the fact is, He's in charge. He's in charge, and I have to acknowledge that. But I do trust that He will take care of me. And so we all go through things like that. I remember when I worked for that one company, you do too, Glenn, LMAC. Remember LMAC? That one year in particular, we got laid off, what, 3 times in 1 year. Wow, those were challenging times. They were hard times. And we struggled. A lot of us struggled. And it was difficult because you go out looking for a job, there were no jobs. Remember that? You always had to go in, and when you asked for a job, and then the unemployment office would have you come in periodically, you had to show their names. And if you didn't get asked, you would eventually, and they would ask you, okay, who have you visited? And sometimes they would call them right there while you're sitting there. You know, that always makes you nervous because you hope the person remembered you. They were supposed to write your name down every time, but you really hoped that they did and they would remember you, because typically we'd have their name and the date and time that we stopped there. Those were tough times. Tough times. But here we go. There's that if then. So if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and we lean not unto our own understanding, what can we expect? Well, actually, it's a little more if there, because in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and this is what we can expect, and He shall direct thy paths. He will show you how to go, how to live, what to do. A lot of times that takes a lot of prayer and searching to find what God would have you do. But sometimes we overreact. We overreact. In this situation where our company just recently got at least a request to purchase, a lot of people get scared. And one of the first things they do is they polish up their resume and they want to go start looking for another job. Whether they have to or not, they do. Why? Because they get scared. They want to be in charge of their own destiny. Well, sometimes you can jump ship too quick. And the thing is, you don't want to do that. You don't want to lean in your own understanding. You want to acknowledge Him. And so what does it mean to acknowledge Him? Well, as you live your life, get in the habit of when you're in a situation and all of a sudden you have to make a decision. Sometimes you got to make a decision right then, right there. But you can quickly say, Lord, what should I do? How should I live? What should I do here? How should I answer this person? So even before any words come out of your mouth or any actions, especially writing that email, I'd say, Rhonda, you probably have a lot of this. I mean, you get an email, you got to respond to right then and right there. I've actually responded too quickly, and I misunderstood what the person was asking. That's always a bad combination. You misunderstand and you respond too quickly. And so I've started now to back off a little bit. So what do they say? Sometimes if you're angry, they say write a letter, but don't mail it. Don't send it. Wait a day. Why? Let yourself cool off a little bit. Don't respond in anger and stuff like that. So we acknowledge God by behaving as God would have us to behave. And that's, again, with love and with mercy. And so the thing is we need to respond accordingly and gently sometimes. Sometimes not so gently, but it depends on the situation. But the thing is, if we acknowledge Him and ask Him, how should I respond to this email? And you might think, well, that's silly. You ought to know how to write an email. I know how to write one. I might not know what the right thing to say. And that's where we need God's help. We need God's help on knowing what's the right thing to say. One thing I love is Erin is doing her best to train up a child in the way they should go. I love that scripture. She was teaching the children last night about the Reformation. I don't know if you know this, but today's the 30th, tomorrow's the 31st. Tomorrow's not just Halloween for a lot of people. Tomorrow is the Reformation Day. That's the day when Martin Luther, who ended up basically separating himself by nailing up what was called 95 Theses. And if you're wondering what is a thesis, well, it's just a statement of fact, or at least a question presented to the Pope. And one of those things, you have to understand, when the Pope, at least back in those days, they had billed themselves as having the power to forgive sins. Think about this. The Catholic bishops and the Pope himself had the power to forgive sins. Now, you and I would go, well, that's silly. Well, a lot of people believed in it. They were immersed into that system to the point that they had complete control of the people. The people believed it. And so one of the ways to raise money for the Roman Church was to sell what was called indulgences. An indulgence is basically something you pay for to get forgiven of either a sin or to help mom and dad who maybe have passed along already and died to be gotten out of purgatory. I know. Think about this. So selling indulgences was a way to raise money on the backs of the poor. Martin Luther finally read the scripture in Romans that Paul had written, where it said, the just, you know the rest, shall live by faith. Well, when he read that, it was like a light bulb went off. And he's like, wait a minute, I've been following this Catholic doctrine and dogma for so long that he never realized it wasn't about works. See, that was the thing with Martin Luther and a bunch of other monks, by the way. It was all about works. That's how you were saved. You were saved by works, at least they thought. And when he read the scripture for himself, it said, the just shall live by faith. Now, we know this, and we acquire this, and it's something that's just in our thinking, but back then it wasn't. It wasn't. So here's something that Martin Luther, just one of the questions that Martin Luther posed to the Pope, and when the people read it, they went, aha. That's when their minds were being opened. You ever notice how sometimes just one question can do that? Here's the question. Like I said, he wrote 95 things, but here's just one of them. He said, if the Pope has the power to forgive sins, why doesn't he do it out of love instead of for money? Wow. Just that one thesis was enough to awaken all kinds of people. And they started thinking, well, wait a minute. Yeah, they talk about love all the time. If the Pope has power, why don't he just do it out of love rather than for money? valid question. And believe it or not, those 95 theses, the questions that Martin Luther wrote up, challenged the Pope's authority and eventually led to what we now know as the Reformation. So tomorrow is what's called Reformation Day. That was the day when he took a hammer and he nailed up these things, and all of a sudden people started waking up against the Catholicism type dogma and doctrine, and they started thinking for themselves, and all of a sudden the Pope's authority was starting to diminish. They wanted to kill Martin Luther, by the way. Fortunately, God's plan wasn't to have him killed. Many people, by the way, were martyred. But Martin Luther himself survived and lived to be fairly long life. But that's why you and I are here. We're Protestants. And that's what basically a Protestant is. We protest against that other religion, that other doctrine. And so we are called Protestants. You can thank Martin Luther and thank God for that. So here we go. Here's more of that if then. It's kind of interesting, I think. Because he goes on to say, be not wise in thine own eyes. There's that thing about, you know, leaning on your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes. You ever notice how people think they're so smart? They know everything. You know, I always taught my kids that I have what's called the everything book. It's kind of funny because it's been a thing that I've used when my kids were little. They would ask me questions and I'd give them an answer and they'd say, how do you know that? I'd say, because I have the everything book. And I said, as you get older, you'll get it. And it's kind of funny because even now my grandchildren ask me, what's in the everything book about this? And they'll ask me another question. Anyway, I probably shouldn't have carried on so far, but the fact is, it's really not the wisdom that I've acquired. And by the way, everybody here who's over 50 has acquired all kinds of wisdom over the years. I don't know about you, but when I was 18, I didn't believe anybody over 30. Okay, I didn't believe anybody over 30 because they don't understand. They don't know what it's like. Oh my gosh, they know everything what it's like. And they had a lot more knowledge and wisdom than I ever did. But I didn't think that because I was wise in my own eyes. But he says here, don't do that. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Get rid of it. Don't want to join into it. And that's a hard thing to teach your grandchildren especially. Because Caleb just the other day, of course, I was a little angry at him. But the fact is, here lately, he's been doing a few things that aren't very nice on the school bus. And one of the latest incidents is somebody spit on it. Okay. Rather than tell on somebody and, you know, and tell it to the school bus driver and whatnot, or at least report them to the teacher or somebody, he spit on them back. You know, sometimes you can carry that do unto others thing, but he misinterpreted that. Not as they did unto you, as you would have them do unto you. Anyway, he did it right back to them, and what happens? He gets in trouble. There's that if then. If you spit on somebody, you're going to get in trouble. So don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't lean against your own understanding. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And if you do that, then it said, it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. It just basically means you will be a lot more healthier for doing this. You'll feel better. You'll feel better. It's just something that you should do and reap the rewards for it. All right, let's continue on. And we'll wrap this up here in just a moment. So he says, honor the Lord with thy substance. That's what you earn, okay? Your substance, things that you own. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now this is going back. Now notice he didn't attach a number to this. He didn't say pay your tithes. He didn't say pay 10%, which is what the word tithe means. He just says honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. We have this knack, especially in America, but other countries as well, all over the world, to where everything you earn, you think it's mine. It's all mine. We don't think about how the Lord gave us the ability to earn all of this. And so here he's saying, honor the Lord with your substance. And then when you get something, you know, your first fruits, you could also include payday, then honor the Lord with that. And this goes back to what I quoted earlier. If you reap sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. And so here he's saying, if you practice this, if you practice honoring the Lord with your substance. Now, what is substance? That could be money, food, time, anything that you can think of. You remember when Jesus was talking about, might have been John the Baptist, when he was talking about, you know, whoever owns like two coats, let him, you know, give one to somebody who doesn't have one. Well, that's the thing. And it's funny how we do this more at Christmas than any other time. At Christmas, you always see these things where people are, you know, asking for money for families who really don't have anything. And we see this all the time. And our work, you know, thank goodness a lot of places do this. They actually combine as a group, as a collection in the office, you know, maybe a group of, say, engineers or drafters or a group of salespeople will combine their gifts and money to purchase for kids a specific family at Christmas time. This is one way to honor the Lord. I've actually been on both ends. I've been the recipient of that, and I've been on the giving side of that. Do people remember I think it was Celanese. Dron and I were talking about this the other day, how the theater there in Parrisburg, they used to have a thing at Christmas time. Oh, yeah, I remember Ani, I think, had tickets and stuff for that. Well, that was a lot to celebrate, one, but it was also to give, you know, toys to children and things like that. Oh, I've been on the receiving end of that as well. But the thing is, it's been a good thing. So if we do this, if we honor the Lord with our substance, the things that we have, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He's talking about prosperity. You realize that? He's talking about prosperity. If you don't, I knew a guy, I don't know if I could call him a miser, but if there was anybody I knew came close, it was him. We would go to breakfast. A bunch of us would go to breakfast at our workplace at the same time. It'd be about 6 or 8 of us go. And this guy would always walk through the breakfast line and look. He never bought anything. And one of my other friends used to say, yeah, said he would always, he'd squeeze that nickel until he made Benjamin Franklin squeal. And that's the way he described him. But the oddity to all of this, so when I became supervisor of the drafting group, one of the things that I liked to do on occasion, couldn't do this all the time, but I would offer to buy them breakfast for free. You know, I'd buy it for them. I would tell the cashier, I'd say, here are the names, and when they come through the line, to go ahead and put it on my tab, and I'll come up and settle with you when they're done. Well, the guy who never bought anything would load up on free breakfast days. Free food always tastes better, right? It does. It really does. There's something about that. But the fact is, if you are generous, okay, what we just read, if you honor the Lord with your substance, He will, your barns will be filled with plenty. That's going back to what they said in the New Testament. If you reap generously, sow generously, you'll reap generously. Anyway, there's another one of those, this shall happen if you do this. Let's wrap up on these two. So he goes, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Nobody likes to be spanked. Nobody. But if the Lord is doing the chastening, you can say he loves you. And he says, neither be weary of his correction. Do you realize that's also in the New Testament said the Lord chastens them, those whom he loves? He wouldn't correct you if you were not his kid. You realize that? The thing that is good to know, And I'll admit, growing up, I didn't get chastened a lot, but when I did, it was sometimes brutal. It could be, at least from a kid's perspective. You know, us kids, we could get a couple of little swattings and we think we're being beat to death, but that's not really the case. It just hurts our pride more than anything. But the fact is, they chastened us because they loved us. And God loves you. So if He chastens you, He's basically wanting you back into the family and to be a good little boy or girl. You realize that? God loves you that much, that He's willing to correct you when you need it. And so we shouldn't be weary of it, because sometimes we do. We get tired of being chastened. We don't like that. So if we allow the Lord to chasten us properly and appropriately, He goes on to say, "For whom the Lord loveth, He corrects." That's what I just said. That's in the New Testament. "Even as a father, the son in whom he delights," or delighteth. Isn't that wonderful? Just this little bit of scripture is enough to propel your way through life and navigating all the things that go on and be able to work with people and work with situations, and it just can make things a whole lot better. And so if you want to have what I call the good life, or at least the better life, put these things into practice. Put these things into practice. Father, I pray, Lord, that You'll take these words and use them, Lord, to our benefit. God, help us to put all these things into practice so that we may reap the benefits that are outlined here in this scripture. So God, I pray that You go with us each and every day and help us, Lord, to do everything according to Your will. In Jesus' name, amen.